Pastor Michael, we've been in a season for all questions related to the spiritual realm, or maybe not all questions, but a lot of questions.
A lot of questions, yeah.
Today's question is, what are the different kinds of angels mentioned in the Bible?
All right, this is a fun one because different theological traditions break this up pretty differently. So the Catholic Church has their own kind of just historic tradition of how angels are broken up. The Orthodox Church has their own, and the Protestant Church, generally speaking, has their own. And so one of the things I appreciate about the Protestant Church's approach to angelic designations is that they're more looking at this explicitly through what does the Bible say?
Which is really what we do here,
you know? And so different traditions are more theological in nature. And so you might have a church father who writes a surmising theological treatise on angels, and then a pope will write a paper based on that person's treatise. And now we're like, we have a theologian or a pastor's perspective and an interpretation of that from another person. And so you get this like theological development.
Yeah.
And the question for me is just like, okay, what does the Bible
actually say?
Okay. Yeah. So I'm not going to try to categorize them too much. And to be really, really clear, if it was this clean, that would be great. I'm going to make it as clean as I can. But then there are certain nuances that sort of fuzzy the picture a bit. Okay. So to the best of our ability, kind of here's what we got. Okay. So number one is a designation of archangel. And if you were to ask like people, how many archangels are there in the Bible, right? They might be like Michael and Gabriel, and probably Satan was one. But we actually don't know if Satan was one. Gabriel's never called an archangel. Explicitly, the only archangel that we know of is Michael. Great name. I know. One who is like God. That is what his name means. So whenever I meet somebody, I'll say, Michael, like the archangel. And then they remember my name every time. It's actually pretty funny. And so Jude 9 calls him an archangel. The reason they think that Satan was an archangel is because essentially what you have is arch means like overarching or top dog, you know? So that because the angelic realm fights with the weapon of authority, so lower authority angels or demons have to submit to higher authority ones. In Jude, where Michael and Satan are battling, nobody wins. Michael needs to call on Jesus to defeat Satan.
So they're like on level playing fields in terms of authority.
The inference would have been that Satan or Lucifer would have been an archangel, which is why when they're fighting over Moses' body, they need to call on Jesus to end the fight, right? So I think that's a good inference. So I would probably say Satan was an archangel and he is a fallen archangel. That would make a lot of sense, okay? And so with the archangel, this is good. The Lord, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the Lord will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel and the trumpet of God. So whatever an archangel is, apparently they have either a beautiful voice. It's the cry of command. So is this a big booming voice? Is it a beautiful voice? Is it a compelling voice? All the above.
Yeah.
Apparently archangels have a very unique voice. I don't know what it is. Never heard one. So number two, now we move away from rank and we move to kind of angel. So it is possible that an archangel is a separate kind of angel. That's possible. But now we get to number two, which is cherubim. And these are typically specifically associated with God's throne room, God's presence. They guard access to God. So a couple scriptures, Genesis 3:24. After the fall, God places cherubim and a flaming sword to guard the entrance to the tree of life. So if you remember, the Garden of Eden is essentially where God lived. This was his throne room. So God made his dwelling on earth, and the place of God was Eden. And so they were kicked out of God's presence or God's home, which was Eden. So now the cherubim protected. Exodus 25, two cherubim are crafted over the ark's mercy seat. And God says that he'll meet Israel between the two cherubim. And the cherubim are representative of protecting access to God's throne. Ezekiel 10, we have the living creatures, and they're identified as cherubim. That's a really interesting. They have multiple faces and wings. And so if you double click on cherubim, there could be multiple different kinds of cherubim. Cherub could be a class as well. Okay. And so it's very plausible that the angelic realm has as much diversity of appearance and functionality, maybe as the created realm on Earth.
Yeah.
All different kinds of animals, people look differently, right? So so they're all in the class of angel. And so either cherubim is a separate kind of angel, or it is a separate rank of angel. But the cherubim are described, but it doesn't mean all cherubim are the same. So there's a lot there. But so we have archangel, which is status, rank, could also be its own class. Cherubim, which have a certain look to them, and also could be a rank and could be a class. Three, we have seraphim. Seraph comes from this word, fiery ones. Burning ones, fiery ones. So the idea here is that the seraphim in Isaiah are hovering around God's throne, and they're crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." So they are, I think, meant to worship, almost fiery and intimidating. But here's the catch: Satan is called both a cherub and a fiery one. What does that mean?
Yeah.
And it would appear an archangel.
Yeah, right.
So this is where the classification system, so we're just identifying there are seraphs, there are cherubs, and there are archangels. And so like, I'm just saying these are the words used.
Yeah.
Apparently, a seraph could be an archangel. But that doesn't mean they all look the same. So we have this idea that like all angels have to look the same.
Yeah.
And they don't, they have names. They have personalities. They have different descriptors. They look different. And so
I love, like we just left Christmas time and a Christmas season. And I love whenever people will take like the biblically accurate type of angel instead of like topping the typical angel. Like here's the biblically accurate one. And there's just like eyes covering the whole thing.
Yes.
And it's got six wings. Yeah.
You're like, what is actually happening? And then so, like, there's this like movement on like, you know, like the Joe Rogan-esque podcast where they're like, oh yeah, you know, and they were getting prophetic visions into the future and they're trying to give vocabulary to the technology that we have. And I'm like, I don't think that's the case. But so we have archangels, cherubs, seraphs, and then number four is the living creatures. And these really show up in Revelation 4 and 5. This is kind of where they're most popular. And so he says he sees these living creatures. They do kind of remind you of the cherubs from Isaiah. So it's possible they're the same. Many scholars think that they are some version of cherub or seraphim. But I just want to call it out. It's a separate kind of group of angels given a different name. And again, you might, you know, double click on cherub and it could be living creatures and something else, right? Don't know. All we do know is that the seraphs are fiery. The cherubs guard the presence. The seraphs are worshiping Satan, somehow combined archangel, cherub, and seraph. I'm not helping, but hey, I'm just giving you what the Bible says, right?
This is helpful. Yeah.
I mean,
this is what the text says.
It's one of those things. It's like when you get to heaven, you look at them and go, oh, cool. Thanks. Yeah. That actually makes sense of everything. You know, the last one is the watchers or the holy ones. These have become popular recently because of like a growing interest in the book of Enoch, which really takes a lot of Jewish tradition around the watchers, which are, they come up in the Bible, especially in the book of Daniel. But they develop a whole kind of system around the watchers, who are these angels that were sent with unique powers and skills, and they oversaw the earth. And so the watchers, they're in Daniel chapter 4, verses 13 and 17. Nebuchadnezzar sees a watcher, also called a holy one. He announces judgment. And so, again, could a watcher be a category of rank? Possible. Like, could it be archangel watcher? So the book of Enoch seems to communicate that these are high ranking angels or demons. A lot of these watchers fell, and the watchers were the ones with who taught humanity how to handle metals, precious metals, or how to fight, or how to read the stars. And so a whole bunch of really massive movements forward in human technology, they say would come from the watchers, right?
Interesting.
So, that's interesting. So, and then, you know, big picture, right? You have a whole bunch of ranks of angels. You have ordinary angels. Again, we don't know what they look like. They could all be seraphim or cherubim. You know what I mean? We just, Within the cherubs and seraph, you might have multiple levels of ranks and power. We do know that the cherubs guard the throne room. We do know that the seraphim are worshiping Jesus. We do know that archangels have the highest authority, but there's just so many questions in between. And I think when we get to heaven, when we die and we get to kind of get a sneak peek into the spiritual realm, this is going to be so much more diverse, interesting.
Yep.
We're going to understand how this realm was impacting our physical world in ways that will finally make sense. Like the amount of times in life I will watch someone or I'll watch a dynamic play out and I'll think to myself, what is going on?
Mm-hmm.
And it almost feels like there's something spiritual happening. And sometimes that's negative. I'm like, is there demonic influence happening here? And I have a hunch when we get to heaven, we will look back and see the level of dark engagement happening that manifests itself in the physical. But also then you watch, there's just this incredible transformation in people's lives. And you watch, we attribute it to the Holy Spirit, but like what kind of angelic ministry is happening behind someone's transformation? Of course, if you're going to be subject to demonic influence, you have to participate and be willing. And if you're going to be subject to Holy Spirit or angelic influence, you have to be participate. You have to participate, be willing.
Yeah,
of course. But I think when we get to heaven and we watch the dynamic between the physical and spiritual, it will make sense of things that our whole life we were like, I don't know. And then we move on to the next thing, but it'll start to make sense of things. Or like what happens when you preach and teach the word of God? Mm,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like what is like the spirit realm actually look
in
like?
That space.
Or is, I've always wondered like, when we're worshiping on Sunday mornings and preaching, is there just like angelic armies around all real churches? Mm-hmm. And like, it's a space of freedom mm-hmm. to like where, but if the pastor goes like some weird version of woke, you know, like their defenses are down, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've just always wondered like, what in the spirit realm does that look like? And so, you know, we get up and preach and sometimes, you know, you're like tired, whatever, but I wonder if I saw what was really going on, if I would have a different level of invigoration each time I was preaching.
Well, I think there's something like fascinating about the fact that they could all look very different, like as diverse as humans look, like we all have very different appearances, even though we're all like one human race. And that's fascinating because I think that's not the way it's often portrayed in media or movies. And some media movies like completely have warped and distorted people's views of like what's actually in the text of scripture. And then there's some media that I think actually does a decent job of like helping us understand like this is the possibility. But again, we're surmising because it's this spiritual and physical realm separation. But I think as I've been reading through Genesis, like the who knows what the spiritual and physical realm dynamic would have looked like before sin, because like God dwelled with Adam and Eve and like it was spiritual and physical were meant to be joined and like live harmoniously before, but after sin that's all been changed and that dynamic changed. And so as you said, whenever we actually get to see Jesus and we get to experience what the new heaven and new earth is like, we'll have a lot more understanding of what this looked like all along that we just couldn't see.
Totally. In the book of Revelation, heaven and earth merge.
Yes.
And the idea is that the physical and the spiritual that were separated at creation, now in the new creation, it's one kind of entity. And so we now coexist together for eternity in the way we were originally intended to.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine. I just literally can't.
Like, we're so confined to our physical realm that it, like it's outside of our realm of understanding the possibility of like what it could look like.
Yeah. There's another like funny description of angels. So I have a weird... I have some weird obsessions, guys. One of them is studying near-death experiences. And so one of the absolute most consistent ways that angels are described, God is always described as an all-consuming bright light full of love, right? Mm-hmm. It is like the epitome of love. And when it's in your presence, it sees you, it knows you inside and out, and they can't explain it, right? And it's consistent, all different religions, all different whatever. It's just a very consistent picture of God, right? Angels are also pictured as lesser lights, but light nonetheless, and that what emanates from them is glory and light, but they have a lesser glory than what people know to be God.
Yeah.
And so how do we even put that into the schema that like whatever they are, they're also light? And so Paul says that God dwells in not unmeasurable light. What's the word?
Unapproachable
light. Thank you. You know, and Satan and the angels are also considered to be glorious and have light emanating from them. So I don't, you know, put that in the mix. You know,
right.
It's like, so they have a form and they're light.
But then there's also times where like they break into the physical realm and they take on human form.
Human form.
People don't
yeah.
always know yeah. that they're interacting with an angel
yeah.
potentially.
Yep.
Which, yeah, again, throws another wrench into the mix.
Of, right. Some of you have entertained angels unaware. What? What? You know, like, yeah.
Yep. And they, yeah, sometimes when angels show up, right, like most of the time people's reaction is like absolute fear.
Yeah.
And they're just like, they basically yeah. become like they're dead.
Yeah.
And then other times
until
there's
they're
like
incognito.
Right. Yeah. And then there's a normal interaction yeah. and people don't even realize.
Yeah.
So it's fascinating.
It is fascinating. Yeah.
Well, thank you for helping us. I don't know if people are more confused or less confused now,
hey,
but this is what the text says.
Now they know the categories.
Yeah, you know? And we're being faithful to the text, so I appreciate that.
Thank you.